If you can please turn to your Bible to Matthew 24, 36. Matthew 24, verse 36. During the hardest moments of 2020 in the middle of the COVID pandemic, there's data that showed that Bible searches, they soared online. There was actually a record number of people that turned to Scripture for passages specifically addressing fear and healing. In fact, YouVersion Bible app, they saw searches increase by 80%. And in 2020, they totaled 600 million searches worldwide. This is the most searched scripture, and that was Isaiah 41. Listen to what Isaiah 41:10 was. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You know, in a time of unknowns, we all remember still perhaps, amen, have to deal with this coronavirus, just COVID, amen. But specifically in 2020, it was a time of unknowns. We were very unfamiliar. There's a lot of suggestions on how to live, how to operate, stay in your house, do this, do that. People, what they did is they turned to a known God in an unknown time. They turned to His Word. And what's interesting is this scripture, it actually reminds people that the unknowns can be left with God. You know, when we do not understand, when we don't know how things will turn out, what we can do is we can trust God with the unknowns of our own lives. What's interesting is I saw this at work in our text, Jesus, He does this very same thing. He leaves an unknown with God. So Matthew 24, 36, let's read our text. "However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son Himself. Only the Father knows." Only Father God knows. They asked Jesus about His coming in the last days. And this was His remark. This was what He replied. He says, "Only the Father knows. Not me. Only the Father." And what's interesting is that this is an unknown. Because Jesus Himself doesn't know. But He says, you know, who does know is the Father. And so what we have is an unknown. And to Jesus, it was okay. And if Jesus thought it was okay and He trusted His unknown with God, shouldn't we? So I would like to preach to you, amen, leaving things with God. And I want to talk to you first about the hardest question, because one of the hardest questions that we'll ever ask in life is why? Why God? Why does this happen? Why did this happen to me, my family? Why are we going through this? Why? You know, this question comes at different times, different seasons in life. It arises when we want an explanation. We want answers. Judges 6:13. We read this story of Gideon. And it says that Gideon said to God, he says, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" You got to understand the context. God's people, they're dealing with this enemy that continually attacks them at their harvest. They steal and rob from them. They're living in caves. They're impoverished, amen. The people of God, they're oppressed by this people. And Gideon says, you know, God, why? What's interesting, God calls Gideon. He says, "Rise up, you men of valor." And as God is stirring him, Gideon turns to God and asks, "Why have you let these things happen? Why, for the last 6 years, Have we as your people been dealing with these things? So here Gideon asked the why question. And if you read on, you're going to find out in text, listen, you're going to find out that God doesn't even answer it. But Gideon, what he does, he leaves it with God and moves forward in the things of God. This is a truth in life. We will not always have the answer to our whys. This is difficult for some because we are a people by nature that seek answers. We crave explanation. I want to know what's going on. We will find ourselves without answers in life at times. We come to this place of unknowns and it doesn't settle well with us. You know, unknowns, that can be frustrating. Not knowing what is happening, it can be highly frustrating. I recently had a high water bill. I couldn't find a leak. I looked under my house. I was trying to find it. I saw my meter spinning. I got a bill that was twice my normal bill. I just couldn't figure it out. I called the water company. They sent someone over. And, you know, lo and behold, we're searching through everything. And the faucet or the hose bib under my deck, it was leaking. Just the process of time corroded the water, the hard water corroded where the copper fitting was meeting the actual faucet, and it was leaking, and it kept on leaking and leaking and leaking, and it was frustrating. I couldn't figure out why I was spending this money, and the fact is, not knowing frustrated me. Spiritually, it's also true, amen, serving God, dealing with the realities of life. If we don't know, listen, it can bother us. It can be frustrating. It can also be painful. In the medical sense, perhaps you've been through this, but something's wrong. There is pain. You go to the doctor and they tell you, you know, they observe, but they tell you, you know, they can't pinpoint what's really happening. Listen, what that does is it leaves you with unanswered questions, and you're still left with pain. It can also be confusing. You know, what's interesting about the unknown is that confusion can unlock doubt in our minds. If we don't understand, we become confused. It brings us to wrong conclusions. I'm reminded in Luke 24, the disciples, they're on the road to Emmaus. And if you remember the story, they're leaving the work of God. And you know why? They're leaving because they're confused. There were unanswered questions. They're on the road, listen. And it's interesting, you read the text. They even say, they thought, this is in their mind, that, we thought he was the Messiah. We thought that he was our Redeemer. We thought that he was going to do certain things, but that's not how it worked out. Sometimes life doesn't work out the way we expect it. Jesus was crucified. The disciples, here they are, they're walking down the Emmaus Road and they're trying to figure out life, but they ain't got no answers. And the unknown sometimes can bring confusion. But in our text, Jesus, he leaves us with some, or he leaves us with an example. Jesus leaves an unknown with God. Matthew 24:36. However, no one knows. It's an unknown. No one knows the day or hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. So church, only God the Father knows. And Jesus was okay with that. He leaves that unknown with God. And in the example that's left for you and me today, listen, our unknowns can be left with God as well. You might be here tonight. Church, you have an unknown of your own. You seek answers. And listen, some circumstances, Listen, you might be facing, you don't understand why. You're hurting, maybe confused, perhaps in pain, mentally, physically, even spiritually. You can leave your unknowns with God, and that's the promise we find, or the example, amen, in our text. And that brings me to the second point. I want to talk to you about leaving things with God. Because Jesus did it, and we can too. We need to understand the why before we go on, though. We need to understand why should things be left with God. Well, first off, He is God. This is why you can leave things with God. Isaiah 46:9, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. Listen, church, God is sovereign. He's in control. And what's interesting, twice in our text, you find the words, I am, this phrase. And what that is, it's a statement of God's authority. God is above us, church. He's greater than us. His ways are higher. They're not like our ways. Secondly, God has greater wisdom. I don't know if you know this yet. It might be a surprise to you, but God is smarter than us. We can leave things with God. We can leave things with God because He actually knows our unknowns. He could handle our unknowns better than we can. God sees things that we don't. You know what? Even if God were to explain your unknowns, we probably still wouldn't get it. Or we wouldn't understand it. Our finite minds, they're limited. Our understanding is limited when it comes to His divine understanding. And thirdly, God understands, listen, it's in our best interest to not know sometimes. It truly is. You see, we have some great men of God in our fellowship. Men like Pastor Lobato, my pastor. I love my pastor's testimony. I love what God has done in his life through his family, his children. He raised up every one of his children. And every one of them's in the ministry. Every one of them's preaching the gospel. His three boys have preached the gospel. Two of them have been overseas. One of his youngest is currently in Texas preaching. He's got a little girl, Talisha. She's married to a preacher. We actually handed over the Henderson Church, the church that my wife and I helped build. We handed that church over to them in Vegas. We handed it over to them. And what's interesting, if you know their testimony, it's powerful. Every one of his kids, amen, they kept themselves pure to the day of their marriage. They waited. They didn't have sex before marriage. They waited. They kept their heart pure before God. None of them, not one of them ever did drugs. They never drank. Listen, everything you hear about what God can do in someone, they actually did it. They lived for God. They lived for God. They were on fire for God. They preached the gospel. They won people to Jesus. They brought people to church. They were on fire for God. I love their testimony. Powerful testimony. And yes, they went to school. They were faced with all the same peer pressure. They went to a secular school, public school. My pastor, he told me once, he says, the reason I don't pull my kids out of secular schools is because they have to learn how to live amongst all that. They have to learn to be righteous. They have to learn. I just can't make every decision for them. And that stirred my heart because I seen with my own eyes coming, you know, from a family myself where people didn't serve God. My father in his sin. My mom, listen, I had no exampleship of righteousness. And listen, now into the church, now that I'm saved, living for God, I can look to my pastor and I can trust that God, there is hope for my kids. And what's so powerful about all this, God has done great things in his life, but I bet you, by human nature, if God were to show my pastor all the things that he had to go through to get there, he would have never done it. He'd never have done it. If we be honest, if God, listen, would show you what you had to go through before knowing, you know, what God will do in your life, a lot of us, we wouldn't have done it. We wouldn't have gone. Me and my wife personally have been through a number of things. And I can tell you, listen, I honestly can tell you that I'm not sure if God would have showed me the trials, the issues. There would be a part of me that said, you know what? Maybe God wants us to do something else. I would try to go a different route, a different way. Who knows? That's human nature. I think about Joseph. In the book of Genesis, if you ever read about his life, I hope that you have. God gave him a vision. God gives him a future vision of authority. And think about this. Listen, what God didn't show him is God didn't show him slavery. He didn't show him betrayal. And he didn't show him abandonment. This is exactly what happened to Joseph. Joseph became the second in command in Egypt. He became a powerful leader. He was an influencer. Think about this, church. Nations came to Egypt, and the one they answered to was Joseph. Here is Joseph. He's in a palace, second in command. But what he had to go through to get there, that's a different story. If you remember, his brothers plotted against to kill him. They wanted to murder him. They were jealous of him. They actually, in turn, decided to sell him off to slavery. He was sold to slavery. He goes off, and for years, he lived in slavery, and he ended up in prison. He's in prison. He was lied to about Potiphar's wife. Listen, I want to tell you again and again, he was abandoned. The trials, the hardship, being locked up in prison. Listen, for all this, his family trying to kill him. Do you actually think Joseph might have went through with it? If you think about it, listen, I dare say that he could possibly bail. To get to where Joseph was, went through many hardships. He went through trials. He went through pain, tears, blood. Listen, he went through some enormous things. But here's the revelation. Joseph didn't see these bad things because God knew exactly what Joseph could handle at the time. The reality is, church, God knows the struggles ahead, and he might not fill you in about these struggles because he doesn't want you running away from where that struggle can actually take you. You see, that's the reality. God allows us to go through certain hardships, and he'll even hide it from our eyes. He'll protect us from what's ahead, from what's coming. So you can face it head on. And while you're facing it, while you're going through the battle, while you're going through the difficulty, the hardship, everything it brings, it builds another you. It shapes another you. I told this guy at my work, I made a funny comment. He wants to make a shirt about it. But I said, man, that guy right there, he builds my prayer life. He heard me say that. And he laughed, and he said, what do you mean by that? And I said, oh man, that guy, God help him. he's so hard to work with. But that's the thing, that's the point. Listen, you go through things, amen, it sharpens you, right? Iron sharpens iron. Listen, it builds you, it shapes you. You know, some of the strongest men and women of God, especially in the arena of prayer, listen, are people who have lost someone very dear to them. They had a struggle through that loss. They had to sacrifice. They had to go through a number of things and somehow keep sane and somehow keep serving God. It builds you. You see, struggles can take you great places. And last but not least, The reason you can leave things with God is because God is trustworthy. You know, the word God keeps record of this, that God always comes through, always, again and again, he always comes through. You know what we're known by today? We're known by the seed of Abraham. We are a part of the blessing of Abraham. This is the same guy whom the Bible tells us that he believed and his faith in God was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham was promised to be a father to many nations, that his seed will be blessed, and we are his seed today in Christ. Listen, spiritually, we are the seed of Abraham. We're the children of Abraham in Christ. But here's the thing. That was a promise God gave Abraham, right? Did you know Abraham never got to see Christ? Abraham never got to see this promise fulfilled. Remember, you know, in the beginning it said that Abraham went not knowing. He had no idea. God told him to leave Ur. He told him to leave his hometown and to venture off into an unknown land. And he went. He trusted God through the valleys and the deserts, and we know all the way to what we know as the promised land. But listen, think about this, church. Think about this. He went not knowing, trusting God, and God came through. Today we are the people of God. Today, because of Father Abraham, listen, we are the spiritual seed, amen, of that blessing. Listen, Jesus is a reminder for us that we can trust our unknowns with God. That there are things that can be left with God. Jesus himself was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was crying out, "Is there any other way? Can this cup pass from me? Father, is there any other way?" And the plan of the cross was such a burden. Jesus, he sweat blood, amen, in prayer. And think about this. Jesus left the plan of the cross in the Father's hands. He left it in the Father's hands. Jesus trusted his Father in heaven. Okay, God, I'm just going to go. I'm going to do, and I'm going to trust your plan. I want to close and talk to you about the blessing of leaving things with God. If you can leave things with God, it will bless you, church. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You can come to God in prayer. You can share your frustrations, your anxieties. This is what prayer is all about. You're sharing your unknowns to God. God, I need answers. God, I need your help. And in return, while you do this, Paul says, amen, in context of Philippians 4:6, listen, God will end up blessing you. In return, you can have peace. You can have God's protection. You know, living things with God shows that you're trusting your life's affairs in his hands. And when you do that, God, he rewards faith. If you will learn to place your faith in God, leave things with God. You don't have no answers. You don't know how it's going to happen, but you're going to continue to obey God and you're going to just leave it with God. Listen, I've said this many times because it was said to me through the years, amen, as a disciple. I come up against hardships, different circumstances. If I don't know what to do, I just keep on doing what I know to do, right? If I don't know what to do, I don't know how to deal with this circumstance. I don't know how to handle it. But what I can do is continue doing what I already know to do, which is go to church, tithe, pray, read my Bible, be nice to my wife, right? My kids, lead my home, lead my ministry, serve others. Listen, I know what to do in that sense, but when I don't know what to do in my circumstance, I just keep on doing what I already know to do. I leave it in God's hands. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that leaving things with God, it rewards you. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You know, this is something David did, and I close with this story. David in the Bible, he learned to do this very thing. Powerful story, testimony of his life. We know that he's King David. From a shepherd boy to being king, listen, in between the two, you know the story how he was hunted by King Saul. Hunted. He was being chased again and again out of towns. Listen, chased away from his family. David had to live in caves. It was difficult. Difficult to live. But David learned through the process of time on how to leave these unanswered questions. God, why am I in this cave? Why am I running? You promised me. The prophet laid hands on me. I remember. You told me I was going to be king, and now I'm in this cave and I'm hiding. I'm running for my life. I don't understand. People are trying to kill me, and it's even your people. I don't understand. And through the process of time, David dealing with these, amen, dealing with betrayal, dealing with the issues of life. Listen, he come to understand Psalms 55:22, and he writes it in his journal. Listen to what he says. He says, cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. In other words, you can cast or you can leave, amen, your burdens with God. God will hold you up. God will protect you. God will move for you. David learned through the many trials and hardships in his own life that he can trust God with things that he didn't understand. So church, leaving things with God, one of the greatest things it will do for you is give you confidence. And this is what I hope that you leave with today. I hope you leave with a level of confidence knowing that God will come through for you. Because that's what happens when you learn to leave things with God. It gives you confidence. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. You see, church, we can give things to God because we know God, He's going to work it out. We know in His sovereignty, He's wiser. He has foreknowledge. He understands. Unlike us, listen, He can see. And He can work things out in the background of life. He's moving pieces. He's putting things together. And yes, it might be hard. Yes, it might be difficult. But I promise you, because Scripture promises us that God is working things out for His glory and His purpose. Good things. Good things. It will benefit you. From Joseph, from Abraham, Paul, the many testimonies that we come across in Scripture, again and again, we see the character of God's written word. We see the character of God, and that is if you will learn to leave things that you don't have answers for, you don't understand, you're confused, you're hurting, you don't know what to do, where to go, how to handle it. If you would just learn to come to God in prayer, if you will learn, amen, to lay it at His feet, if you will learn to cast your burdens, amen, if you would do these, amen, God will come through for you. You can trust Him. He'll bless you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.